Let's don't quite leave here yet, because he is worthy. And I hope, as we were singing there, I hope and I pray that we weren't just singing a song and realized who we are talking to. Someone, when we say you are worthy of it all, we're praying to some, we're offering up praises. We're not just praying, we're offering up praises. And in part of that song, it said day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Let that sweet smell and savor of our praise to him arise. In the book of Hebrews, I'd already had this in my notes, in chapter 13, in verse 15, he said, by him, therefore, let us offer up the sacrifice of praise to God. It said continually. It didn't just say in a, you know, when you're having a bad day or on Sunday, but he said continually, day and night. And we've been talking in this series about faith that changes things. And I don't believe that I'm the only one in this room today that could identify with. There have been several moments in my faith walk through every day, maybe even hourly, that I've had to find a place and get alone and praise my way through a situation, a problem, an instance where I just have to get in his presence and understand there are moments and times when there is nothing that I can do to fix this. The only thing that I can do is go to the one that's able to do all things and humble myself before him, because he's not going to go against my will. But when I willfully offer up my praise to him and say, Father, you're in control, because I'm putting you there right now. This situation's gotten bigger than I am, and I should have come to you at the beginning. Amen. Continually, all the time, offering up a praise to God. Amen. Thank you, worship team. You may be seated. Let's give them a hand. I guess one of the requirements in my family is you're going to have to go to work. Got my son on the bass, and Ellie on the drums, my daughter, and my other daughter singing, Jaden, not Audrey, Jaden. I think Audrey's in nursery. Maymay's taking care of Ida somewhere. Amen. But it's good to work for the Lord, amen? Yes. It's a privilege to work for him. All right, there we go, get some lights. I'm so thankful for this opportunity. To minister the word of God to you as he's ministered it to me. And I'm trying out some new things today, so just bear with me. Can you do that? Are you in a hurry this morning? If we took some time and we learned something and got somewhere, would it be worth your time? I believe that it would. And so we're going to be talking about today in this series of things that are a faith that changes things. And I want to talk about today about stepping out into the unfamiliar. Stepping out into the unfamiliar. And hang on to your hats, but if you scan the QR code, there's some notes on there this morning. So I don't want to hear no more. I don't want to hear no more about it. No. I had these printed out. They're just some, they're really some scriptures that the reason I had Tanya do that and was because I want you to have something to take with you this week that's beyond that this very moment in time. And I want you to be able to take it with you to your home, to work, to Walmart, if you need to, and be able to open this up and say, okay, here's some scriptures where I can remind me of what to do. There's been some times, even I don't want to get into the details of the situation, but I told the person, I guess I'm going to have to laminate you some instructions in order what to do if you ever come into that situation again. So you'll know what, because sometimes, and I'm saying this with all fairness, there are times when you get in the middle of a situation, sometimes your thinking wants to go wonky. Am I the only one? No, not since this morning. Not since right now. To open up and say, okay, this is what I need to do. This is what's in front of me. And so I just printed out some scriptures on praise. And I don't want to go over these, but you can download those when you leave today or however you do that, and get on there. I think you scan it with your camera and all that. We're not going to go down into a lesson. If you have any trouble, you can see Charlotte on the back there. She helped me get an iPad set up. And so I say help like I had anything to do with it. I said, here you go. Anyway, she set me up with an iPad today. So we're, you know, change isn't change until there's change. You can talk about it, you can think about it, but until you change, you're just talking about it, you're just thinking about it. So today we're changing for the better. But we're going to talk about stepping out into the unfamiliar. And there's a passage, if you have scanned the QR code, there are some scriptures there. I want to go over some scriptures before we get started today on how to overcome thoughts of anxiousness and dread and worry. Some thoughts came to me before, and go to Matthew chapter 6. These are very familiar scriptures, but we don't need to let this be too simple, right? These are foundational scriptures, don't get me wrong, but the scriptures also help you build the rest of the house, not just the foundation. So we can, and here, this is what the Lord really checked me with. And I want you to understand there, I see a transition here where the Jesus says, take no thought saying, and then in some of the scriptures, I believe he begins to challenge us again by saying, take no thought, period. And I believe that there are times, and probably where a lot of people are, and even where I have been, when we will say, I will take no thought saying, but I'm going to let that thought just swim in my brain all day long. I'm going to let it do butterflies and backstrokes, and I'm not going to say anything, but I'm going to think it. There have been times where, you know, people say, well, I didn't say a cuss word out loud, but I sure said it in my head, and they're saying... I want us to graduate to where we start taking every thought captive, not just our words. That we begin to take our thoughts captive. But let's start in verse 25 before we get into what I say. This is going to be a part of it. This is definitely a part of it. I'm going to try to stop and elaborate on a few things here. But keep in mind, we're in this series, Faith That Changes Things. And I also want to talk about faith that changes me. And that's really what we've been doing. And if I want to say this quickly. Wednesday nights, if you've not come out to the walking out your faith, you are missing out. You are missing out. We're not just talking about the blood and the guts and the gore, but we're talking how to walk through that junk victoriously. Amen. So I want to encourage you. We're doing it again this Wednesday night. I'm not going to give away who the speakers are. You just need to show up and find out. And you'll be blessed by it. Matthew 6 and 25. Now, who's talking here? Jesus is talking here. He said, therefore, I say unto you, take no thought. Now, that word take no thought is one word, merimneo in the Hebrew. I believe I'm saying that right. Which means anxious. So what he's saying there is take no anxious thought for your life. Now, I want to stop there real quickly, and I want to say this. When we say take it, I kind of look like you're almost in a physical battle, like saying, I'm not going to take that. Not like as in receiving so much, but as in, you know, like if, and I'm using in the flesh term here, I'm doing a little bit fleshy here. If you're about to get in a fight with someone and the guy across, are you going to take that? Are you going to take them saying that to you? Are you going to take them doing that to you? We kind of have to have that stance when we're dealing with the enemy and saying, I'm not taking that. Right. We got to have that forceful comeback with him, as in, I'm not going to just not take a thought. I mean, I am not taking this laying down. we're going to have to get to a place where we get just a little bit undignified in how we deal with the devil. I've even heard of people praying and saying, oh, dear devil. I'm not talking to a dear devil. I'm going to say, look here, you son of a gun. And cursing like that. Not here. If you need to do that, I tried that one time and I didn't feel very good about it, but I wanted him to know he was a low-down dirty dog, and I wanted him to know exactly what I thought about him, and that you got to get forceful when you're dealing with the enemy. We're not patty caking this if we're going to make it through. That's right. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. We're not just asking, we're demanding. We're demanding. We're not going to take no thought. I'm not taking that thought for my life, what I'm going to eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Who's talking? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. They don't clock in. They don't have a 401k. They don't have Social Security. Not saying those things are bad. But he said, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? And I love this. I highlighted this in your notes. Which of you, by taking a thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Have you ever been in a spot where you're just looking at a situation and just like almost, instead of continually giving up praise, we're almost standing in front of it going, what am I going to do? 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 What am I? Or somebody else might be saying, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? And we'll have those thoughts rather than just saying, whoa, I'm going to offer up a praise to God rather than this focusing on the problem. Because by taking a thought, if he's saying, can one add one cubit to his stature? By taking a thought, can I change this situation at all? And keeping in mind, it was Jesus that said this. In verse 28, and why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? He said this, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. When he says Gentiles, he's talking about unbelievers. For after all these things do unbelievers seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. So if we're going to talk about these things, we're just as bad as an unbeliever. Maybe not headed where they're headed, but we're living. You know, if the devil can't get you to hell, he'll sure make you try to experience as much of it as he possibly can while you're here. And God has called us into a spiritual walk that is full of victory right here, right now, on earth as it is in heaven. We don't have to wait for heaven to live heaven. We can live it right now. And I know a lot of us here that have been here 40 and 45 years may know that, but sometimes we need to be reminded of that. And there we have to take under consideration that there's also maybe some people here that have never heard this in their entire life. But so many times we'll say, well, I know that. But that's like saying, well, Bo, I'm going to go to your gym and I'm going to work out my arms one time and I'm never going to do it again because I've already done that. You got to work it out all the time, every week. And if you want to get to a spot, even if you want to maintain it, you still got to work it out. You can't just say, well, I worked that out last week. You've got to do it all the time, continually, all the time. It's got to be on the forefront of your mind. And if you're going to walk victoriously in this life, you're going to have to quit looking at scriptures like this. I've got to quit looking at scriptures like this as if, well, I've already heard that. I've done that before. I'm going to have to do this all the time. He said, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. A lot of times we are worrying about things that may not ever even get here. I had a guy that came here a week before last, and he was telling me about all his troubles, and he had some big ones. But it was all in tomorrow. It was all in next week or the week after that. And I finally just stopped him. I said, what are you going to do if the rapture takes place and you worried about all this for nothing? And he honestly was like, you know, I've never thought about that. Well, I said, well, I didn't either till right then. The Holy Spirit brought it to me. I wasn't trying to take credit for it. But a lot of times in our life, we're just sitting here thinking about things that, and I don't, my former pastor, he did some figures on that. He came up with this. I don't know where he got his figures from, but 99.4 of the things you worry about never happen. That's a lot of worrying for nothing. But let's look at this. We've covered already who's talking here. It was Jesus. And it's not just Jesus, but the Jesus that you and I have called the Lord of our life. Is he Lord of your life today? Let's say that he is Lord of my life. Well, there's another passage that says this, why do you call me Lord and not do what I say? Why do you call me Lord and not do what I tell you to do? I've told you not to worry. I've told you not to take anxious thoughts. You can't change it at all by worrying about it. You're not going to. So if he's going to be Lord of my life, I've got to do what he says to do. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4 real quickly, and then we'll move on into the... This is part of the message. This is the part of the message to us. This is not just another time. And you know what? Next week, whether it's Pastor Susan or Pastor Dylan or whoever gets up here, that next Sunday, if we make it to that time, will be the most, that message being spoken that time will be the most important thing going on in our life. Let's pay attention today to what's going on. Don't let this slide by you. Don't let this be too simple. Don't let this be another time. This could be the key to victory in your life. In verse 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. Not just sometimes. That word always means at all times. And again, I say rejoice. Verse 5, this is one we all love. Let your moderation or your patience be known unto all men. Dylan, I think I heard that cricket we were talking about the other day right there. Patience isn't fun. Nobody likes to have to exercise patience. That's why he had to put here, let your patience be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful. That word be careful there is merimneo, the one we used up there for take no thoughts. Same word. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So here's a formula you could say here. I'm not going to take an anxious thought, verse 6, but I'm going to pray, and I'm going to make some requests, but I'm also going to do it with thanksgiving. And then when that happens, it says this in verse 7, and then here comes the peace of God. What do I have to be thankful for? Well, let's go through a little list here. I can go over there right now on that wall, and I can touch the button on that thermostat. If it gets a little hot, I can turn the air on. If it gets a little cold, I can turn the heat on. We can go into the bathrooms with running water, hot or cold. We can go out to our vehicles, and our cup holders can keep our drinks cold, or they can keep them hot. Our steering wheels are even heated and cooled. And Lord forbid if driving is such a hassle that now they're making them to where they will drive for you. And people are depressed, full of anxiety, worry, what am I going to do? And we're going to the grocery stores and we're pulling food off the shelves. We don't even have to make gardens anymore if we don't want to. We buy meat, We buy vegetables, we buy fruit, we buy all these things. We got the candy, we got the snacks, we got all these things. And Lord forbid if we have to go inside with the cart and pull them off the shelf ourselves. Now we have people that go and do that for us, and now they will actually drop it off at your doorstep. I mean, life is terrible. What are we going to do? What are we going to do with all these conveniences? I don't know what I'm going to do. We have cell phones that don't just call. They don't just message. We do banking with them. We play games with them. We talk to people across the world with them. And we ask these questions. What are we going to do? Health. My legs are working. My arms, I can move them. I can breathe. I feel like doing things. Let's don't take these things as too small. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then Paul said this, and then the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Does that kind of peace sound good to you? To where it guards you, your mind, and it guards your heart? The reason we need to have these scriptures with us is because the chances are when you leave here today, you're going to be faced with some thoughts of what am I going to do? What am I going to do in a case like this? Anxiousness and dread and worry. And we need to pull these out where it just says this, not to be anxious at all, but to pray and ask for God to do it and then be thankful, and then peace is going to come. And I'm going to tell you, that has worked for me every time. If I've got my mind in the right, if I've got myself in the right frame of mind, and I go into that place where I offer up a sacrifice of praise. The reason it's called a sacrifice of praise is there's going to be times when you're not going to want to. You're going to have to sacrifice the way you feel. You're going to have to sacrifice what the situation may look like. You're going to have to sacrifice what others may be telling you, what the situation may be looking like. And you're going to have to say, Father, you said, and you're Lord of my life, not to take any anxious thoughts, so I'm not going to do it. I'm going to offer up a sacrifice of praise. And it has been scientifically proven that when words are coming out of your mouth, your brain can't think about other things. This is good whether you like it or not. And the reality is this, we all want to walk in peace. I mean, you take somebody that's believing for heavy materialistic things and somebody that wants to be a minimalist. What are they both looking for in what they're doing? Peace. Peace is the main goal. Whether you're looking for a lot of things or whether you're looking for nothing, it's peace that you're looking for. Matthew 11:28, Jesus said this, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Who's talking again? The Lord of our life. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. You shall find rest to your emotions. You'll find rest to the way that you feel. He said, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I had to get a vision in my head of literally me carrying these problems into the throne room of God and taking them off and handing them to the Lord and him giving me his yoke that barely weighs anything. That's what he told me to do. The problem we can address here is in Matthew 18, where there was some that were trying to hinder the little children to come to Jesus. And he said, don't do that. He said, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as a little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. I think about childlike characteristics. They don't sit around and worry and dread on where their clothes are coming from. They don't sit and think about where's the next meal. Now, they might ask, when are we going to eat, right? Where are we going to eat at? Are we going to get to go to McDonald's? Or are we going to get to do all this? But they don't sit and lay awake at night worrying about the bills getting paid. Hello? Here's the thing. If worrying worked, I'd tell you to do it. But I've never worried about money and got up the next morning and checked my bank account and money be in there because I worried. If it worked, I would tell you to do it, but it doesn't work. It's, matter of fact, you'll find I've been branching out and listening to some neurology, and scientists are even being able to prove that your body has a stress hormone that produces a chemical that you get addicted to. And the only way to get off of it is the same way that you get off drugs, the same way you get off alcohol, the same way you get off sugar. You got to detox. You're going to have to fight these things, and you're going to have to battle these things. And I'm, what I'm saying, battle not in your own strength, but understand this. There's some situations here, and I've got to get this. Oh, I can't just take this land. This is not what my body, matter of fact, your body is not really made to handle long-term stressful situations. And he said they've been doing some studies on 8,000 brain scans that they're under the impression that all diseases within the earth come from stress. Just telling you what I heard. That doesn't mean that that's absolute 100% truth. But I thought, man, I don't think stressing's benefiting me at all. Doesn't sound like it to me. You can just take that with however you want to. Do your own studies on that. But I don't, one thing, well, I don't even have to have a study to know this. I don't like the way I feel when I'm stressed. I don't have to have a brain scan to know that. I can know that right now. I don't enjoy it. It doesn't even bear witness with my spirit. I have to humble myself as a child. Children don't sit and worry about stuff. They don't sit and fret about things. Matter of fact, children, when they get mad, I think 5 minutes later, they're playing with the person they got mad at. We might could take some lessons from that. We could say amen and go home right there. But I want to talk about stepping out into the unfamiliar. And I believe this, that there is nothing more beautiful to our Father than to step out into areas that we aren't familiar with, and the only thing that we have underneath our feet is His Word. Because all these scriptures that I read to you this morning are dealing with us stepping out into areas that we're uncomfortable with. We've been talking about faith that changes things. Faith that changes situations. And I'm telling you, we're going to get to a spot that I really feel like the Lord is really going to challenge us today. As we get to this area, we've been this far before, and I'm not talking about Conway Twitty. We've been this far before, but we've never went on past there. Some of y'all don't know who Conway Twitty is. But he sang that song, but I thought that's what I mean by that. What I mean is we get to situations where we've went this far, but we've never taken the next step. And the reason that we don't is it's uncomfortable. It's unfamiliar. But as I said earlier, change isn't change until there is change. I'm not talking about it, not thinking about it, but changing. And I'm not talking about change in the situation, but change is in the way you approach situations. John 16:33, Jesus is very clear that life is going to present you with challenges. In John 16:33, it says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Now today, we are not focusing on the tribulations that life can bring. Before he mentions tribulations, he mentions that in him, speaking of Jesus, you might have peace. And if we are in him, we have overcome the world. So tribulations, that don't ask me why this analogy came to me, but I felt like it fit very well. Tribulations and situations are just baloney between the bread of life. Jesus being the bread of life, if you don't. I want you to understand today that there are a lot of times, and most times, I want you to hear me today, that when you're looking at situations in life, it's just baloney. It doesn't, and I understand there are some big things, don't get me wrong, but understanding also, when Jesus went to the cross, we talked last week about Jesus going to the cross, going into the heart of the earth. He didn't stay there, he came out. He was resurrected. He ascended. The Bible says that he's on the right hand of the Father right now, making intercession for me and for you. What work? Are you awake? What work did he leave undone? Because I thought through this very intently, because I believe today there are people in this room that you are facing some very challenging things. I'm not making light of anything. I know we talked about things to be thankful for, but we are facing some very detrimental things. But we have to ask ourselves without reservation of feeling or what we think or what we might see. And we have to ask ourselves this question: what work has my Lord, the one that I call Lord of my life, left undone that he cannot reach inside of my situation and he's not already taken the penalty for it? We have to ask ourselves that question, because no matter what we come to, we have to come to this conclusion: it is just baloney between the bread of life. And you have the God-given right through Jesus Christ to not have to wait until your need or your desire is manifested in order to walk in peace. There are so many people that will take the stance: when this situation's over, then I'm going to be able to rest. But the Bible says here in Isaiah 53:4-5, we quote this when we're talking about with his stripes we are healed. But it says here in verse 4, he said, surely he hath borne our griefs, and he has carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. But I want to talk to you today. It's not so much about how do I hang into this until the situation happens. The question I have to ask myself is, where do I begin to walk in peace, even if it's long time down the road before this manifests? We have to get a vision in our mind of end result before we ever even see a manifestation. You're going to have to get that image in your mind and quit living past present reality and start using future present reality. I feel so anointed right now to encourage you to not let the enemy is coming after your peace. He's coming after your joy, and he's trying to tell you that you're not going to be able to have any relief until this situation is resolved. And Jesus said, I took your peace with me to the cross. I took it into the heart of the earth, and I resurrected with resurrecting power, and you can walk in that as well. Yes. You can walk in the victory now. You do not have to wait until your situation is resolved. You can walk in peace right now. John 14:27, Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The peace that the world wants to give you today is telling you, you can have that peace after your situation is resolved. But Jesus is saying this, you can walk in peace right now, knowing that this is just a season that you're going through. So by the truth of Scripture, I don't have to wait for situations to change in order to walk in peace. I don't have to wait for my bank account to change. I don't have to wait for my health to change. Malin, I don't have to wait till I get the good report. I don't have to wait for prosperity to change. I don't have to wait for relationships to change. I can know love, and I can be in love long before I find the person. I can walk in fullness of prosperity before I get the thing. I can walk in health before the healing comes. And I can walk wealthy before my bank account shows anything. Because all these things do the Gentiles seek. All these things do the unbelievers seek. And what are they trying to say? I'm just trying to find peace. I'm just trying to find peace. Because have you ever found yourself in the situation, if I could just get here, everything would be okay. Here's the truth. When you get there, if you don't have peace in your life, you're still not going to be okay. That's where depression starts kicking in. That's when depression starts doing its dirty work. That's when anxiety starts doing its dirty work. When you realize that no matter where I get to, it's not going to be good enough. That I can find the peace right now and things don't have to change at all for me to walk in peace. That's why God gives us the avenue of praise and worship. And when we sing that song, this is how we fight and this is how we win. That's not just because it's cute wording. That's exactly the way it is. This is how we fight. There has never been a time when I've walked into my prayer room and offer up a sacrifice of praise that God has never not met me there. He has always met me there. Is this good? So, what does me changing instead of the situation change look like? The ebbs and the flows. Have I got your attention now? What's that look like? Because we got inspired. I can feel the doodads right now, but what's that look like when I go out there? Hello? What's it look like? Well, it starts with this, and write this down. It starts with a clear intention. I intend to. We hear the message. We get emotionally charged. Can you identify? You may go so far as getting a vision of yourself wealthy, healthy, prosperous, or loved, or a situation overcome of any kind. And I want to say this. I got this in parentheses. The biggest battle you face is the one that's right in front of you. Don't downplay your situation. Don't let others downplay the situation in your life. If it's big to you, it's big to God. And as I said, we get excited, we get emotionally charged, nothing wrong with that. And we walk out the doors and we have the feeling, we have the feeling of that I can conquer anything. Then something really brilliant happens. It may be a few days. It may be a few hours, or it may even happen before you get out of the parking lot. You have some unconscious thoughts surface that become very conscious. And they'll say things like this, and maybe you can identify. What are you doing? Who do you think you are? You've tried this before and it didn't work. Am I hitting anywhere yet? Or I may look in the mirror and say, why don't I feel or look any better? You may even get into an argument with your spouse when you got inspired for it to change. Uh-oh. Hear a message on relationship, how great it is. How it's going to renew, and you're all inspired, and you get emotional about it, and you're happy, and you're excited, you're going to go out and conquer the world, and you're going to go out and have this great, and then all of a sudden you get into a fight in the parking lot about where you're going to go eat lunch. I'm working in the prophetic field now. I'm just listening to a lot of examples. We could go on and on. You know, you could check your bank account and it'll in a couple of days. You've been believing God for prosperity and for money. People can act like money is a bad thing, but you know what? The only thing that makes money good or bad is who's holding it. It's intent of the heart. We could go on and on, but you know, sometimes to be believing God for those things and looking at the bank account 2 days later and say, well, God, I thought things were going to get better. I thought things were going to change. And we could go on and on. But there are things like, what are you doing? You've tried this before and it didn't work. Or it could be, you have your mother's genetics. You have your father's genetics. I got to sit in a conversation not long ago. Wasn't here. So stop, don't look around. Wasn't here. And an individual was dealing with some issues. And his uncle across the table said, your dad had it. Your grandfather had it. All of us had it, and you're going to deal with it too. I thought, man, what a blessing. I bet he walked away just feeling really great about life. But this is bad. You got bad genetics. And I'm not saying there aren't some things that we may not have to deal with, but that doesn't mean you'd have to just accept it. Well, I just got bad genetics, and it's going to happen. We could go on and on, but in these times when we get inspired, and then we go out into the world, and all of a sudden these unconscious thoughts all of a sudden become very conscious, and you understand this, that no matter what I try to do to better myself, these unconscious thoughts that always become conscious are never going to let me move past this area unchecked. But at that moment, whenever that word is sown into our heart and all these thoughts begin to come at us, you know, we were inspired. We were full of energy. We were shouting amen. We felt a doodad. We felt all these things. We were happy. We were excited. We were challenged. We felt like we were able to rise to meet the challenge. And then when all these thoughts start coming at us, Mark 4 and 15 becomes very alive. The enemy has come to steal the word that was sown into your heart. And then you are faced with this thought, am I going to quit? Or am I going to continue on with what was sown in my heart, even though I know I have never been this far before? I've been to this spot, but I've never stepped out any further than right here. And as I said earlier, when we decide, I'm going. I don't care what anybody says. I don't even care what I think. I'm going to step out over into this, what we call a void. I'm going to step over into this area, and the only thing that I've got underneath me is God's word. Amen. I throw my emotions out the window. I throw how I feel out the window. I throw what everybody tells me out the window. I take those unconscious thoughts and I say, I don't care what you say. I'm going to go ahead and step out onto this. And the only thing I'm going to have underneath me is His word and a continual voice of praise. And I'm stepping out into this area that I've never been before, and I'm going to make it. You see, I'm fighting to win. And the only way that I can win is if I follow the one that's already won into the areas that He's leading me to go. And you've got to get something down on the inside of you that just says, I am not going to quit. I am not going to stop. I'm going to continue out on this, because we're going to find here in just a little bit that this walk of life is not for the people that are perfect. It's for the people that says, I will not quit. I don't care what the doctor's report says. I don't care what the bank account says. I don't care what my relationship looks like. I am going to see a victory. Because the victory is already there. And we're faced with these thoughts, am I going to quit, or am I going to continue on with what was sown in my heart, or am I going to dig it up every day to see if it's changed? Leave the seed in the dirt. Water it with praise in His word. Don't pull it up. But even when we back off, a lot of people at this time, they'll fall back into what they are comfortable with. And it gives them a sensation of, this feels right. But it's not right. It's just familiar. People will stay in wrong things just because they know what to do in that, even though it's killing them. Literally killing their body. situations, relationships, the way you deal with money, the way you deal with your marriage, the way you deal with your children, the way you deal with life, and you fall, you might step out with a little bit of, I'm going to try to change this, and you go a couple of days and things get hard, and you're faced with a situation of, do I go further, or do I step back into this area where I know what to do? And it feels right, but it's not right, it's familiar, it's all you know. And we step into these areas where we have to realize this, I've got to walk by faith and not by sight. Yes. Right. We're not walking in what we see, but the unseen. Right. Not going by how we feel, but strictly standing on the Word. And we walk by simply believing and trusting, not in our own efforts, but strictly by faith. And we have to stop limiting God. For those that have went past that point, and those that I'm challenging today to go past that point of where you've ever been before, I want you to understand this. Do not ever limit God by terminating what He wants to do in our life just because of your inconsistencies. It doesn't mean I'm perfect. It just means I refuse to quit, and I'm going to choose to trust the One that is perfecting me. That's why David said in Psalms 138, he said, He will perfect that which concerns me. He didn't say, I'm going to perfect it. I'm going to trust myself to the One that's going to perfect it in me. And just have this attitude, I'm not going to quit. We have got to have staying power. Are you hearing me today? We have got to have staying power. If we're going to make it through this to the things that we desire and the things that we want to see God do in our life that's already been accomplished, and we tackle that through having peace in our heart. The peace is already there. That's why I'm stepping off over here, because I trust the One. Paul said, I know whom I've believed. I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I know in who I believe. And I'm persuaded that He's able. Everything that I need to see done, He's able. And He's already done it. All I've got to do is follow Him into those areas, because He knows where He's going. Yes. I don't have to see it. All I have to do is see the One that knows where He's going. There was the story I wanted to tell in my first closing. I got to witness this firsthand when I was about 12 years old. I'm smart enough now not to use names. I've been taught well. But this individual, I just want to say this in a nutshell, he was not revered in the community. He was looked down on a lot. He was a little bit lazy of a guy. He provided what little bit his family needed in order to survive, and that was it. He didn't want to work. He wanted to hunt all the time. He'd spend every last dollar. He tried to take one of my deer tags because he shot a deer illegally one time. My dad wouldn't let him take it. He just was shady in his dealings. You had to be careful in what you did with him. But he got born again. He accepted Jesus Christ into his life. Now, he didn't let that regenerating work very far, but he confessed Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And I remember he had got cancer. I know I'm not saying that the right faith words, but he got cancer, and I just remember vividly he came in, and I think it was in his throat, if I remember right. And I remember he came into church one day, and they had marked where they were going to start cutting around in his throat to get it out. And I remember him walking up to the front of the church, and he said this, maybe not verbatim, but I remember him going up to the church, and he said, I know that the Lord can heal me. And they laid hands on him, and about a month later, he came back to church, and he said, I went for another scan. They could not find an ounce of cancer in my body. Well, I'm just a 12-year-old kid. And I've seen a lot of other people, good people, upstanding in the community. Great fathers, great providers that died with cancer. And I begin to ask, good works, bad works, just judging the situation. At 12, I didn't understand, Lord, you let a good man go and kept a bad one here. I know that's kind of raw, but that's 12-year-old thinking. Well, all that came to my memory of all things when I woke up one morning, just this whole, I hadn't thought about it in a long time. But I asked the question again to God Monday morning. What gives with that? And this is what came to me. He just simply believed me. He just believed me. He understood it wasn't what he did, or who he was, or who he wasn't, or who another people said he was or wasn't. He simply believed that I could heal him, and I did. Healing was already there. He just received it. And I've never forgot that. In this pursuit of the things that we need God to do, or that we desire God to do, I've taken this stance, and I've seen others and heard of others, and people have told me, well, I started reading, you know, they come to a situation and they'll tell themselves, I've been spending more time with the Lord. Not, is that a bad thing? No, it's a great thing. I've been reading my Bible more. I've been doing all these things. I started going to church more. I started doing this. I started fasting. All of those things, trying to get God's hand to move. If I do this, then God's mercy will shine on me, and my works will justify him wanting to heal my body. And when God is saying the whole entire time through his word, in Romans chapter 10, in verse 11, he said, the scripture says, no man who believes in him will be put to shame or disappointed. It didn't say whoever does all the work that I require of him will ever be ashamed or disappointed. And I'm not saying to go out and just do the most heinous things. Like Paul said, we're not telling you to sin that grace can abound. But understand this, that God wanting to do things for you has nothing to do with your own efforts. It's simply that you put your faith and your trust in him and him alone. There have been so many times, and I believe I'm speaking to some people here today, you have disqualified God because of your efforts. And the whole entire time God was wanting to do it for you, but you wouldn't let him because you didn't feel like you were good enough. And at the end of the day, what good enough could you do to honor the body of the Lord Jesus Christ that was sacrificed for you? Because if that was the case, there was no need for him coming and dying. But he said, if I put all my trust in him, he said this, that I would never be disappointed. The actual last closing, Mark chapter 9, verses 20 and 23. I'm going to be in the New Living Translation. This is a story, not a story, this is an account of a young boy that was demon-possessed, and his father had brought him to the disciples, and they couldn't cast the demon out. And we'll start in verse 20 in the New Living Translation, if you have a device. It says, so they brought the boy, but when the evil spirit saw Jesus, it threw the child into a violent convulsion, and he fell to the ground, writhing and foaming at the mouth. How long has this been happening? Jesus asked the boy's father. He replied, since he was a little boy. The spirit often throws him into the fire or into the water, trying to kill him. I love the way that I picked the New Living Translation, because I love the wording here. The father said, have mercy on us and help us if you can. Jesus replied this way, what do you mean, if I can? When you bring your situation to Jesus and say, Lord, heal me if you can. I believe he'd look back at you and say, what do you mean if I can? Lord, I'm needing more money in my bank account. If you can, what do you mean if I can? Jesus said this, anything is possible if a person believes. He didn't say anything is possible as long as he does all the requirements. Or anything is possible as long as he's read his Bible enough this week. Or anything is possible as long as he's been in church like he should. You know, all those things are fine and well, and I don't want to talk against them. But I want you to understand this, that the only requirement for the change in this person's life right here was that they believed. They trusted him. And he said, if I put my trust in him, that I would never be disappointed. So when you look at life this week and you walk out these doors and you've been inspired to change, and we've been talking about faith that changes things, and you get inspired through the Word of God and through worship, and you walk outside these doors, I'm going to tell you, the enemy's out there. I'm not saying this in a way that's going to discourage you right now, but I want you to understand also that he's out there and he can't wait to steal the word that was sown in your heart. But you've got to take a stand and say, I'm not going to take it. I'm not taking it. I'm going further than I've ever went before. And if I fall off the horse, I'm going to get up and get back on. I'm not quitting. I'm not going to quit. Would you stand with me today? And as we close today, I know that there'll be people up here to pray with you. But if you come, I want to encourage you. Don't word it this way. I want you to pray that this will leave me or this will go away. I want you to come up here and I want you to say, I want you to get in agreement with me on this. Because we're not going to ask God to do things that he's already done. And we're not going to beg him to do things that he already wants to do. People say, hey, you're just talking faith terminology. No, I'm saying this is the stance we have to take. We're not going to take no thought saying. I'm not going to take it that way. I'm going to take it as in. I want somebody to get in agreement with me on this situation because that's what the man that I call Lord of my life told me to do. Yeah. If you agree, touching any certain thing, amen, is what he said. Two or three agree, touching any certain thing. Amen. He goes so far as to say this, and it would be done. So Father, today, whether people come for prayer or they don't, God, they don't need me laying hands on them in order to receive what you've already wanted to do for them to start with. Not against, I know, Father, you said if there's any sick among you, let them come before the elders of the church, anoint them with oil, and pray the prayer of faith over them. I'm not denying that, but Father, they can receive right now within their spirit what's already available to them. And Father, the inspiration, the emotional charge that they feel right now, the heightened emotion that they feel right now, God, that when they walk outside these doors, that they don't have to let it diminish. They don't have to let it subside. But God, when the enemy comes to steal the word, because you were very clear in telling us that's exactly what he was going to do. And you didn't tell those things to scare us, God. You told us those things so we could be wise. We could be wise and understand exactly what's happening. And Father, today, we just speak over these people today. We speak staying power. We speak staying power over them. We speak staying, Father, and not limiting you off of our inconsistencies. If we fall down, we're going to get back up and say, I'm not quitting. It's going to take more than that to get me to quit, and I'm not going to stay in what is familiar. I'm going to step out in the things that make me uncomfortable, and the only thing underneath me is your word, and we're going to walk by faith and not by sight. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be dismissed.